Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hello, this is the Shame-Free Zone, and this is Veronica Monet. And we've got a really fun topic today. We're going to be talking with my expert here, David Shade. He's going to tell us how you give women orgasms. But before we let him get into the juicy details, let's ask him some difficult questions. David, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Hi, Veronica. Thank you for having me on. It's a great honor.
I'm thrilled to have you on here, and I know you wrote a book called The Secrets of Female Sexuality. Now, but I want to ask you, what makes you an expert?
That's a good question. My education is in electrical engineering, so who am I to know? The reason is because
I don't know.
I'm
a woman like electronics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I'm your typical analytical nerd engineer type. But I've always had the fascination with women. I've always been fascinated with women. I've always been fascinated about giving women incredible pleasure and also the power of the mind. And, I really like what you said once, which is something to that effect that sex is an exercise of the mind more than of the body. And it's very true. I tell men that for women, sex is entirely mental. So years ago, I decided I'm going to get serious about this, and I started pushing the envelope, going way outside the boundaries of conventional wisdom and all the things that are in the bookstore and the like, and started discovering things that were just surprised me, just blew my mind. And it got out of control, just trying all these things and becoming very serious about it. Now I just do this full time. And I've helped thousands of couples around the world and very much enjoy doing this. And now I get all of the feedback from the field.
All feedback from the field?
Yeah, I get all the feedback from the field as well, giving me more feedback.
What kind of feedback? What kind of feedback? Come on, give us some details. What kind of feedback?
What's working out there? The problems that are going on out there.
Well, is this from guys or women?
It's mostly from guys, a lot from women, about a third from women, interestingly.
You have to admit. Yeah, but you're talking about lovemaking and orgasms here, and you're talking about feedback from the field. You really do sound like an engineer. Okay. So this is
Yeah, don't I know.
So the guys are complaining, or are they bragging, or are they saying, wow, man, you really nailed it, I can't believe how many times she came, or are they saying things like, oh, I got the one woman on the planet who can't have an orgasm, help, I don't know what to do. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, I'm getting all of those. I'm definitely getting the, hey, you nailed it, your stuff absolutely works. She is having multiple wild screaming orgasms and absolutely in love with me, and I get everywhere from that to, I get guys emailing me say, David, I've been married for 25 years, and my wife has never had an orgasm. And I want to write him back and say, dude, there's some things a man can never recover from. And
that's pretty bad.
And, yeah, absolutely. A big challenge of men out there is they cannot give their woman orgasms. Well, the guy's just not doing the job. A lot of guys, they are selfish, they are thoughtless, or they're just plain downright ignorant lovers. One of the big problems out there is men don't even know if they're satisfying their woman or not. Men don't understand women. They don't know what really makes things happen for a woman sexually. It's amazing the amount of ignorance that is out there. Well, I have to admit that I myself, when I was much younger, I was just walking around in the dark. We don't know. We're not born with a manual to women. I, however, was a considerate lover and always looking for feedback, that sort of thing, trying new things. But there's a lot of guys out there who just will not do that. Now, interestingly, like there's two guys out there. There are guys out there who are in touch with their sexuality and their woman's sexuality, and there are guys who are not. And it's the guys who just do not get it, who are not in touch with their sexuality, who are not in touch with their woman's sexuality. It's like they just will never get it.
It's a big obstacle. You know, obviously, I mean, you're in a role. You've, you know, set yourself up to a role of teaching guys. So, how do you overcome the blocks to learning? What kind of tools do you have at your disposal to help guys who have a hard time getting it? I mean, you know, okay, I get it. Maybe there's a percentage of guys that are just never going to get it. But you must feel that there's a lot of guys out there that you can help, otherwise you wouldn't have written the book. So how do you teach them?
Absolutely. It is true that some guys are never going to get it, and I'm never going to be able to help them because they're not going to accept my help anyway, and it's going to go in one ear or the other. They're never going to understand it. Now, the guys who genuinely want to be good lovers, they're actually attentive lovers. They are always watching their woman, looking for feedback, that kind of thing, and they want to be better. Most of my customers are guys who are already pretty decent in bed, but they want to be extraordinary. They want to go way beyond anything that has ever been known before. And those are the guys who listen, those are the guys who study up, and those are the ones that actually implement. And they're the ones who actually have the success. But I do know that there are guys out there who will never be customers of mine. I'll never be able to help them. Okay, so the guys who actually want to get help are the guys who are looking for...
By the way, David, I would just want to say, as somebody who also tries to help people, I get it. It is very frustrating when people say, oh, this won't work, I need help, and then when you tell them exactly what to do, they refuse to do it. But, you know...
Well, I agree, yeah. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, Veronica.
Some people would rather complain than actually experience the change they say they want. So, but yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know how to get to those people either. I think they need a therapist that will charge them big bucks to talk for the next, 100 years. And
well, yeah, there will be people who are going to ride the shrink's couch for decades. And, you know, that's a question I get a lot from my customers. David, how can I get my buddy to buy your stuff? What can I tell him? He just will not do it. I keep telling my friends to get your stuff, and they will not do it. They're such thick skulls. It's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you've got a learning curve there because, you know, you're more likely to get women to do self-help books, go to therapy, go to church, go to support groups, journal. I mean, women are a little more in touch with that, but with guys, it's kind of like,
absolutely right.
Hey,
women are.
I was born knowing how to do it all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Women are in touch with it. And you know what? It's the people who write me that are in a marriage. It's typically the woman who writes me. And the email I'll get from her is, David, I've been married for 25 years, and I've never had an orgasm. What should I do? And I'll give you the straight answer I give her is, well, first off, I'll ask her, is your husband willing to learn? Is he willing to change? If you were to tell him about my books, would he read my books? Now, here's how it goes. If she goes to her husband and says, I want you to go to davidshea.com and get David's books and do them, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, he's going to do it. He's going to implement the material, and they will have a wildly successful marriage from then on. The other thing that's happened is he's simply not going to get it, or he's not going to do it, or he's not going to make the effort. On and on and on. Here's what I tell the woman. Okay, here's what's going to happen, honey. I've seen this 1,000 times. Within 1 year, you will be divorced. It will be a very difficult thing for you to do, but you will divorce your husband. Then you're going to meet a bad boy. and the sex will be out of this world. You will have your first orgasm. You will have your first vaginal orgasm in intercourse. You're on and on and on. You will become addicted to the sex, and you will be madly in love with him. And then you will find out that he's a self-absorbed, inconsiderate, cheating jerk. But you will not be able to break up with him because you're addicted to the sex.
You know, David, if I didn't know better, I would say that your new career of working with men has actually kind of made you cynical about men.
I'm telling you, some guys just don't get it, and they're not going to. And I continue, and I tell the woman, it will be even harder for you. It will be the hardest thing for you to do. You will finally break up with that bad boy, and then you will come to me asking me how you can meet a masterful lover. I'll see you in about 3 years.
And so the reason you're so cynical about them being able to teach their current husband or boyfriend is because he was so uninterested in her orgasm for all those years. Is that basically your message? It's like, it's one thing if you've just known each other for a couple of years and you haven't been able to have an orgasm, but if you've been married to somebody for 30 years and you've never had an orgasm, then this guy is really a selfish clod.
Yeah, he's not interested in her orgasm, and the reason why he's not is because he is not interested in her. He's only interested in himself and his image and having a hot wife.
I gotcha, because if he was interested, he would have contacted you, right?
Exactly. He would have made it work a long time ago. He
yeah.
would have been interested enough in her a long time ago to ask her, how can I give you an orgasm? What can I do?
Yeah, good point. Really
yeah.
good point.
My customers are the ones who ask their woman, what can I do to give you an orgasm? Well, the women don't know. If the women knew, they'd be doing it. Okay? So then the guys come to me, David, I want to give my woman vaginal orgasms in intercourse consistently. What can I do? I said, you came to the right place, dude.
Yeah. Okay. So you're behind the guy who is interested in learning, wants to know how to make it happen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, gotcha. So, and what do you tell these guys? I mean, you know, I understand if you don't want to tell us everything that's in your book or in your courses, but give us some idea of, you know, what kind of advice you give.
All right. For the guys who come to me genuinely asking me what can they do, I start them off with my introductory book, The Secrets of Female Sexuality, where they will learn that for women, sex is entirely mental. That women live a life of dichotomy. In the living room, they want to be the proper, respected, appreciated individual and lady that they are. They want to be treated with the utmost of respect, and their man has to do that. And then in the bedroom, in the context of heightened sexual arousal with the man that she loves and she trusts, she wants to be fucked like the slut that she loves to be.
Well, I have to say, that scenario you just painted got me a little hot and bothered already. So I think you're onto something. Yeah, I mean, no, seriously. I mean, even, you know, some people might find this hard to believe, but working in the sex industry as I did for about 15 years, absolutely I wanted my husband to treat me with respect. And I didn't like off-color sexual jokes if it wasn't during lovemaking. I mean, you know, if it was about some other girl, maybe we were both, you know, because I'm bisexual, we see some girl, we're talking that way about her, that's one thing, as long as it's not to her face. But, you know, for my husband to talk that way to me in the context of our relationship, I felt disrespected. So,
you don't want dirty talk in the living room. You don't want You want proper anatomical terms used in the living room. But in the bedroom, you don't want proper anatomical terms used. You want slang terms used. And only in the bedroom, in the context of heightened sexual arousal,
are you receptive to
dirty talk.
You are so right about that. I had a boyfriend who was a male stripper who was an expert at dirty talk, and he was very careful about how he did it, when he did it, and it was just so off the chart intoxicating. But a lot of times one of the things that he'd do is he'd whisper it in your ear so it was like just between the two of you.
And
I think that maybe that's one of the things that triggers women too, is that they feel like they're being disrespected and somebody's going to hear it.
Exactly. Exactly. They do not want to be embarrassed. They do not want to violate any social norms. They do not want to have any kind of unacceptance from other people. And to be anything less than a lady in public is to be unaccepted. She wants to be accepted. But in public, if he whispers something into her ear, if it's just her who knows about it, then it's very exciting for her because it's just our little secret.
So you're really onto something, David, I have to admit. I'm really impressed.
The dirty talk is extremely important. In fact, my intermediate level book, Give Women Wild Screaming Orgasms, it's got all the touch here, touch there techniques. Well, half of the book is about dirty talk. All this touch here, touch there stuff doesn't work without the dirty talk. You have to do the dirty talk appropriately, at the appropriate time, in the appropriate context. Because, again, female sexuality is entirely mental.
No, you know what? I can remember during sex with my husband actually telling him, I want you to say my name, I want you to look in my eyes, I want you to tell me that you love me. I mean, you know, it's like I had to kind of prompt him sometimes to know that it wasn't just hit point A, then point B, you know. Some guys,
Exactly. It's a shame that you had to tell him.
He was an excellent lover in all other respects, but I have to admit that, that as far as like having a conversation, he was more likely to kind of get into the sex and he'd be all busy doing this and doing that and forget to talk.
Exactly. There must be a conversation during the intercourse, during the foreplay, during the sex. There must be. He must be leading the conversation. He needs to be talking to you the whole time. Because it's mental stimulation what's coming in the ears. That's what makes it really out of this world for the woman, is leading her mind while her body is feeling all of these things. And the man has to lead. If the woman has to tell him what to say, that means, she doesn't want to have to tell him because she wants him to lead. Also, it makes her responsible for what happens sexually. The woman doesn't want to be responsible for what happens sexually. Most women typically, are sexually submissive. They want the man to take the responsibility. The woman wants to be responsible.
Well, okay, now I'm going to argue with you there a bit. I don't think it's so much that we're sexually submissive as we have been sexually punished. But this culture makes it very, very dangerous to be overtly interested in sex, and nobody would know that better than me, because I've crossed those lines and I've paid those penalties, and I can totally have so much empathy for women who are being very careful to kind of guard their good girl status, because you lose a lot when you become the quote-unquote bad girl. So I think that's another reason we want men to take the responsibility to initiate sex, so that we don't have to feel guilty and we don't have to feel afraid that we're going to lose our status as being a good girl.
Very, very true. Very true. Women already feel enough guilt for the fact that they're so horny, but they cannot act on it. They cannot initiate.
Like when I was pregnant. Oh, my God. God, I was so horny when I was pregnant. And I remember, you know, the feelings. It's like, but I'm supposed to be a mother.
But you see, women can live a life of dichotomy. They can live a life, they have to compartmentalize their life, because even though they're a proper mother that brings their child to school and then goes to the PTA meetings, when she comes home and puts her child to sleep and her child goes to sleep, when she is with her husband, she wants to be ruthlessly sexual. She wants to take out those raging hormones.
So what do you, what is, you think, the biggest challenge that men have in giving women orgasms?
The biggest challenge is Say again?
Is it what we're talking about, being able to talk?
Well, it goes way back to they don't know. They think that they are pleasing her, but they don't know. They don't know if they're pleasing her. They really don't. They think they are, but they're. If you were to ask her, it'd be a different story. So they just need to know, all right, what does it mean to please a woman, and how do I know that I'm doing that? I can help them with that. Yes,
so that's
there
the biggest
is,
challenge, huh?
Well, the biggest challenge is they think they're pleasing their woman, and they're not. It absolutely is a big challenge for a man to talk dirty to his woman. And dirty talk is a very easy word that comes off the tongue easily. But it's more like sexy, naughty talk, or you can come up with other words for it, but you and I know what we're talking about. Where he has trouble saying to his woman in the bedroom, oh, yeah, you want to come really fucking hard for me, don't you, baby? Stuff like that. They have a really difficult time because men, a lot of men, cannot see the dichotomy that women live by. They cannot see that in the living room she wants to be the proper, respected lady, but in the bedroom she wants to be ruthless, carnal, animalistic, and talk dirty to. And the men cannot distinguish that. Now, in the bedroom, the men believe that if they talk dirty to her, that they're going to insult her, or that it will offend her, or that she'll get angry at him. So they're fearful of what it might do because they do not understand female sexuality.
Interesting. Hold on a second. I'm going to read a few comments coming off of Facebook here. We've got Scott Thomas. Says, Veronica Lene and her radio show rock. Then we've got Linda Henthorn and Steve Brandon. They both like the idea of giving a woman an orgasm. But come on, Linda and Steve, come back with some comments. Tell us how you give women orgasms, okay? And we've also got Ivory Anderson, Tristan, Dean, Frank Vidal. They all like this program, too. But I need some comments, guys. You got to come on with some comments so that we can read them on the air.
I'm going to give you a comment. Let's say I'm a poster on Facebook and I say, okay, so ask David Shade, how do you give women wild screaming orgasms? Let's start with that. Let me start with a really, really good
one. All right, we're going to get the actual course right here.
Yeah,
go for it.
Now we're going to get into the touch here, touch there stuff. Okay, I'm going to give you a really good one that you can implement with your lover tonight. And I learned this from a group in San Francisco called the Welcome to Consensus. This is fabulous, fabulous technique.
What group in San Francisco? Is that One Taste?
No, it is the Welcome to Consensus.
I never heard of them. I know everything in San Francisco. I can't believe it. Are they coming out high or the Institute for Advanced Studies?
Look them up. So here's what you do. She is lying.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to try this. So how to give her screaming orgasms. Go.
Okay. She is lying naked on the bed. She's lying on her back. Her legs are open about 30, 45 degrees. Tell her to bend her knees so that her legs are comfortably open. Then, with a liberal application of lubricant called Astroglide, it absolutely must be Astroglide. That's the best, the easiest. Condom safe, cleans up in water, very slippery. A liberal application of Astroglide, you liberally lubricate your fingers and her labia and get her nicely aroused and lubricated, and then you simply, with your other hand, gently pull back the hood and you very lightly slide your index finger up to the bulb of the clitoris, and very, very lightly, with lots of lubrication, you very lightly stroke the bulb of the clitoris up and down very, very, very lightly. And now I know a lot of women are cringing right now because they think that's way too sensitive. You cannot touch the tip. You actually can, if she is aroused, very well lubricated, and you're using a liberal application of Dirty Talk, then she will actually be responsive to it. And you continue this for a little while, and it will be absolutely dreamy for her. She will absolutely love it.
This sounds an awful lot like something that they do on their lunch break over at One Taste. They call it oming. Have you ever been to One Taste?
I've not been there, but I am friends with some of the people there. That may very well be the same thing.
I don't know if it's the same. It seems like there's several variations going on about this, but general idea seems to be to make the woman the focus and of course, the clitoris, which was a big taboo during Freudian times because there was this assertion from the psychological profession that women having clitoral orgasms was somehow or another inferior or immature to having vaginal orgasms. And, of course, we all know that's a bunch of nonsense. But you also talked about having amazing vaginal orgasms. What's your prescription for that?
This is the second thing I want to cover. All right, so once you're able to be giving her mind-blowing clitoral orgasms, and you have to be able to do that consistently, when you can do that on a consistent basis, then you can move to making vaginal orgasms happen. Now, a lot of women, a vast majority of women, have a real challenge with believing that they can have a vaginal orgasm. There's a myth out there. Most women just simply can't and never will. Well, every woman can have a vaginal orgasm in intercourse. There is no such thing as some women being preordained to have vaginal orgasms and some women being preordained to not. It's silly. There's no such thing. But because she has not done it yet, you, the man, and we're talking to the man now, is responsible for making it happen. Now, intercourse has not done the trick, and it doesn't matter how big the guy is. She has not had vaginal orgasms, so the penis isn't going to do the job. Actually, what I found, I actually fell upon this long time ago, which is one of the things that really got me started on this, is on one girl that I was with, nothing was working to give her an orgasm. She actually never had an orgasm in her entire life. So I was just trying various things to see what she would respond to. And one night I simply slid my middle finger in along the front wall of her vagina as absolutely far as I could go, along the front wall, so it would not touch the cervix. And I pressed very deep along the front wall of the vagina, and she immediately, powerfully responded, and I kept rubbing that area, and she had her very first orgasm of her entire life, a vaginal orgasm. And it has worked consistently with women since then. And tens of thousands...
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute. First of all, and just as a certified sexologist, I want to clarify that for all of our listeners out there, the professional stance on women's sexual response is that we're all individuals, and if vaginal or, you know, orgasms elude you, please don't feel like you're in a minority there. The fact of the matter is that a majority of women will never have vaginal orgasms. Now, whether that's because they're physically incapable or they're with lovers who don't know how to do it or they have some emotional block to it is still something that we can leave a question mark under. But I don't want my female listeners to feel like they have to conform to a particular sexual response. You know, one of the things that I teach is that we're all different, and that is great. But we are listening to what your personal experiences have been and the techniques that you're teaching. And one of the questions that I want to ask you...
Can I comment on that, Veronica?
I would just say, well, hold on. I want to ask you a question about the spots that you are stimulating. Are you going Wait, you said you're going all the way in, or are you just going partially in, like 2 inches or 6 inches?
3.5 to 4 inches.
Okay.
It's what you and I know as the anterior fornix.
Well, that'd be the A spot, and that's
right.
Actually just above the where the cervix meets the wall of the vagina. So you're not talking about the G spot. You're actually talking about the A spot.
Yes.
Yeah. And now, how did you discover this spot? Because, you know, believe it or not, the scientists who study sex just announced the A spot this year.
Yeah, I fell upon it in 1993 when I was dating that woman who had never had an orgasm in her life. And I was just trying stuff. And I had tried the clitoris, I had tried intercourse, I had tried rubbing the G-spot. Nothing worked. So I just thought I'd try something. And I slid my middle finger in as far as I could while being sure not to touch the cervix and just pressed against the front wall. Now, if you're pressing against the front wall, you're not going to hit the cervix because the cervix is in the center.
Right.
So pressing against the front wall, about 3.5, 4 inches deep, it was completely different texture than the G-spot. The G-spot is more like raspberries when aroused. The A-spot is smoother. So I was pressing along the front wall of the vagina about 3.5, 4 inches in, and she immediately powerfully responded. Now, not all women are going to respond to this. It is true. Now, there could be mental blocks, and there are a lot of tragic reasons. It could be child molestation. It could be rape. It could be that their father was just an asshole and raised
them. Well, actually, in all fairness, David, there's other reasons that women don't all respond the same, and some of that just has to do with the fact that, you know, we're all different. So, for instance, just let me finish here. Some men like to have their nipples stimulated, and other men find that to be really annoying, irritating, maybe even painful. Some people want to be spanked, and that will give them an instant erection, whereas other people, you can spank them and they will lose their erection. So we're all constructed very similarly and yet as individuals, and we have our own individual response. And one of the things that I also wanted to say, as far as female physiology goes, when the fetus is developing in the womb to become a female, there's actually some erectile tissue that will end up going behind the vaginal wall. Now, this is the same erectile tissue that goes into a penis to create its ability to become erect. That tissue is in both fetuses, male and female, because we all start off basically with the same structure. And that erectile tissue gets dispersed behind the vaginal wall in various different configurations and concentrations. So some women do feel a great deal of arousal upon penetration simply by virtue of the fact that they possess more erectile tissue behind the vaginal wall. And other women don't, because they have less erectile tissue. So I just want to make sure that the listeners also get that women especially have quite a few variations in their physiology, which can also explain varying sexual response. Anyway.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. And it's true that the clitoris is not just the tip of the clitoris. It goes down either side of the vulva and then in to the front of the vagina. Absolutely. And that's also an excellent, that's a wonderful, wonderful way to stimulate a woman with very well lubricated index and middle finger. You place your index and middle finger between her vulva and you open them to spread her labia, and then you rub up and down in a V shape, which is basically up and down on the wings of the clitoris, the legs of the clitoris, and that is really wonderful for a lot of women.
I think that's one of the reasons that for a lot of women, the best part of intercourse is just at the moment of penetration, just when the penis starts to enter the vagina, you know, and then it's like he gets lost somewhere up inside. I have found that it could be really erotic just to stay around the entrance of the vagina, because you are playing with the long legs of the clitoris, which are called cura, and they do meet at the bottom of the vaginal entrance. So it's a great place to stay.
It is, and a really good technique for that is a technique which you're, I'm sure, familiar with called Taoist thrusting, where the majority of the thrusting is very shallow, and that's just dreamy for women. Absolutely love that.
Shallow thrusting,
Yeah, that's mostly stimulation of just the very first inch or so of the vagina. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, because now you're hitting the G-spot and the bottom legs of the clitoris. It's awesome. Looking off of Facebook here, we did finally get a brave soul who decided to put one of his tips out here. This is Ray Sawhill. Ray Sawhill says, I just unfurl my raw male charisma, and like that, she pops. And that may be, Ray, I haven't met you, you may have more male charisma than your average guy, but for the rest of us, sometimes it helps for us to learn a few techniques. Right, David?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said for the male charisma. Yeah, there a little finesse is required, but there's a lot to be said for the male charisma, or the male energy. Typically, for most women, they really love the energy of the masculine energy, the male energy. They want the man to be the man, and they can be responsive to that. Though there is a fair amount of finesse involved.
And what do you mean when you say they want the man to be the man? Maybe a little more explanation about that would be good.
Yeah, they want the man to be the man.
What does that mean?
Female energy. I'm sorry?
What does that mean? You know,
the female energy is drawn to the masculine energy. Women like being women, and in order for them to enjoy being women, in order for them to enjoy being feminine, they need to be with a man who they believe is masculine, a man that has a male energy. It will get her energy resonating. It will get her excited about being with him. Because he is masculine, because he has male energy, it excites her feminine. It excites her female energy and makes her feel feminine. That's a very important thing.
This is considered an old tantric truth, by the way. As somebody who's, you know, worked with a lot of gay, lesbian, bisexual people, and I'm myself bisexual, I'd have to say that there's quite a bit of variation with that. I mean, there's some people who really want to have a powerful, dominant sexual partner. There's people who want to be submissive. And they do come with all sets of genitalia, male, female, intersex. So there is a lot of variety out there. But I do get what you're saying, that a large percentage, maybe up to 80% of the women out there, would probably resonate more with the idea of a man being in what we call the more masculine role, which really is being the initiator of sex. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, that's true. And absolutely all those things that you said is very true. And it's the women who are responsive to masculine energy, or the women who have a lot of feminine energy. It's like the more feminine energy they have, the more feminine they are, that they identify with, the more they respond to masculine energy. All those things that you said are true. And absolutely, men and women have all the same genitalia. It's just that they developed differently, like the clitoris is actually the penis, and on and on and on.
Well, actually, the clitoris, the penis is actually the clitoris.
It all starts off
as a female prototype. That's why men have nipples, because it's a female prototype that we all start off as.
Yeah, exactly.
At a certain stage in the fetal development, a male, because he has that extra Y chromosome, is going to get bathed in a lot of testosterone, and that testosterone causes the ovaries to drop down and become testicles. It causes the labia to fuse. That's why you've got that little seam at the bottom of the ball sack or the, the scrotum. There's that little seam. That's where the labia actually fuse. And then the clitoris extends out and becomes what we know as the penis and takes the urethra with it. it's a pretty amazing thing, but it's not unlike
it really
what
is.
The reason it's so much easier to take a man and turn him back into a woman is because it's kind of where he started. It's much more difficult to do post-op for transsexuals that are going from female to male, because then you're trying to give them something they've never had and don't really have the equipment there.
Exactly.
Yeah, but probably not exactly the discussion we wanted to have here, transgender
stuff. It's very good. men need to understand female anatomy. They really do.
If you get out a flashlight, this is what I used to do as an escort. I would literally get a desk lamp, and I had this massage table, and I would crawl up on the massage table, spread my legs, turn on the lamp, and I swear most of these guys, the look on their face was always like they had seen the face of God. And for some of these poor guys, they had never, ever even seen it in broad daylight, because the women they're married to or engaged to wouldn't even do it with the lights on, or certainly wouldn't allow them to gaze down there for an extended period of time. And I think we also need to make sure the women take some responsibility for the fact that their guy might like to learn how to pleasure them if they ever got to see what they were pleasuring.
Absolutely. If a man asks his woman how he can pleasure her, she needs to offer that up. Absolutely.
If she's interested in being pleasured, yes.
It's amazing how guys do not understand female anatomy. In fact, a lot of men don't even know where a woman pees out of. Amazing.
Oh, boy, I just encountered that recently, sweetheart. I could not believe it. I was talking to a live audience, and they're like, well, I don't know where the urethra, where is the urethra and where is it? And I'm like, oh, wow. Scary stuff.
It is.
But you know what? We can thank the conservative powers that be. We've had 8 years of just say no to sex, and it's given us a raging teen pregnancy rate and out of control sexually transmitted diseases, because nobody knows how to do anything. It's just amazing how that can happen in 8 short years.
Yeah, exactly. Let me touch upon something that you brought up earlier, and that is, some women are sexually submissive and some women are not. Some women are sexually dominant. This is true. It's all a shade of gray. Absolutely. There are various levels and there are various preferences. This is absolutely true.
Yep. And, because some people are actually into BDSM, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, a thriving business out there of female dominance and male submissive clients.
Yeah, there is. A big complaint I get from women, we need to preface this with the women who email me are typically women that are sexually submissive, okay? So I already have a particular audience. The women will email me and their husband wants to be dominated. There are a lot of men who like to be sexually submissive, which is a preference. There's nothing good or bad about it. There's a preference. But I'm finding out that there is a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a whole industry. And there's actually some really interesting reasons why that happens. It depends a lot on the man's station in life. If he kind of feels like he's dominated by his boss and doesn't have a lot of control over his life, he's probably not going to be one of those guys. But if he's got employees and he's given the orders and he's a primary breadwinner for his family and his wife is always looking to him for to solve everything or to solve a lot of things, or if where he ends up feeling like the world is resting on his shoulders and he doesn't get a day off from being the boss or the leader or the one in charge or the one that's ultimately responsible, then giving up control in a sexual context can just be a godsend. I mean, it can be a real stress reduction. And they actually did research on this out of Arizona, where submissive people, male or female, who are submissive sexually in the context of BDSM practices, experience some amazingly healthy alterations in their hormones. So that it's been proven now physiologically to be a really good stress reducer. And who would have known that, you know, being tied up and spanked a little bit could be better than going to see a therapist in some cases?
Yeah, absolutely. Very true. And in the BDS community, it's a well-known fact that it is the CEOs of huge multinational corporations who on the weekends go to a dominatrix to be powdered and diapered, whereas the entry-level employee or the engineer or maybe the middle manager is typically a sexual dom at home.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. People are so much it's like the complete opposite when they go from the living room to the bedroom.
It is, and I think that's also really what you're finding with women, and in this case, you know, we're especially talking about women who are living the life of a quote-unquote good girl. They're kind of taking maybe a more submissive role with their husbands or, you know, trying to appear proper, at least avoid the appearances of being a quote-unquote slut or whore, that they're going to be looking for an expression of this other side of them.
That's so very true, Veronica. Yeah, women, they've got the 9-to-5 job where they're responsible for a lot of people, and then they go home and they're responsible for taking care of the children, and they're responsible for cooking dinner, and they're responsible for maintaining the house. They have all these responsibilities. But Saturday night, when she wants to let all that go, she wants the man to plan the date, to take her out to dinner and dancing, so that she can enjoy being a woman. And then she can go home with her man, and she can, like you said, express that other part of her, and she can be sexually submissive to him.
Yeah, or wanton, lusty, whatever, you know, whatever comes up, but... Yeah, I know for me now, I did a lot of dominance scenes with a lot of high-powered clients. And when I would come home, that was the last thing I wanted to do with my husband. I was kind of like, no, that's okay. You do the driving now, okay?
Cause yeah,
I'm
exactly.
And I went off of work.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about in your work. You were with very high-powered, very intelligent men, but you... I'm interested to know, you found out that for them, it's not necessarily the sex, it's all the mental stuff around it.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And that really did shake out along economic lines. If the man had, you know, was working really hard for his money and he had been saving up to see me, he probably was more interested in what I call gymnastics, like how many different positions can we do and how many different things can I see and can we watch porn while we do it? And the whole focus is very, very, you know, body part oriented. But when you're dealing with somebody who has a lot of disposable income and a lot of power and they really have everything they could possibly want in the world except for a couple of really important things, really genuine, honest connection with another person can sometimes be hard to come by because everybody's kissing their butt. And then somebody that would disagree with them and tell them, you know, I think you need to reconsider that. I don't think that's right. Those things you can't, you know, it's hard to find when you are somebody that's in demand and everybody wants to make you happy because they think they're going to get something from you. So, and that's really the role that courtesans have played for centuries, is really the role of being an intelligent person who is capable of matching with and debating with her clients. And that's why the courtesans of old was, you know, publishing books, and they were debating men publicly, and oftentimes, you know, had a great deal of influence in government. But,
yeah.
And Pamela Harriman was profiled as a modern-day courtesan. She actually revived Bill Clinton's career in the Democratic Party. So,
there you go.
So yes, it is a very interesting role, and it all falls under the, you know, the heading sex for pay, but yet there's very little sex involved.
Yeah, it goes back to what Napoleon Hill said, that the most important in decision a man will ever make is selection of his wife, because, and then other people have said, behind every powerful man is a powerful woman, and it's still very, very true.
Well, and vice versa. We're seeing
vice
that.
Versa.
Yeah, we're seeing that with a lot of women. You know, I'm sorry for Hillary. She was trying to keep her career afloat, and sometimes Bill really works in her favor, and sometimes he doesn't.
Exactly. But if you look at powerful women, there are a number of powerful women. They are with a man who is completely supportive of them, and is also their private confidant. You know, example after example, you can think of many examples where that is the case.
It's because
it's the person who's with them in the complete opposite of the context that they're normally in.
I think that's what everybody needs. I really do, regardless if you're
exactly.
a man or a woman, whatever it is that you're doing for pay and as your daily routine, most of us are looking for the opposite. You know?
Yeah.
If you work in an office, you want to go outside. If you work out in the weather, you want to get inside.
Exactly.
We're looking for the opposite thing.
Exactly. Very true.
Yeah, human beings always want more. Always want more. Well, we have only got
human beings are a fascinating subject.
Yes, we are. We've only got about 3 minutes. I'm sorry, what, David?
I just said it's an interesting comment to come from an engineer. You said we only have 3 minutes, I'm sorry?
Yeah, we only have 3 minutes, and I want to make sure you get a chance to promote your book and your website and tell folks how they can sign up for your workshops.
Time just flies, Veronica.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Absolutely. I want to interview you, Veronica.
Well, anytime,
okay.
Love. Anytime.
You're a sweetheart. I appreciate that. I have a lot of questions I want to ask you about how sex is mental for men. I have a lot of questions for you about that. All right. Thank you for having me on. If you want to learn more about me, go to my website, davidshade.com, S-H-A-D-E. Sign up for my newsletter. I will email you, and you can unsubscribe at any time. It's completely free. We don't spam you. We don't share your information with anybody. You'll get to know a little more about me at davidshade.com. And you'll learn everything there. And I wanted to say, Veronica, it was a great honor that you asked me to be on. I really appreciate that. And I thank you for the opportunity to be speaking to your client base. And I definitely want to interview you, too.
Well, David, thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for being on the show. And you know what? It's really easy to interview me, actually. Just let me know when it's a good time. I'm kind of booked out until the middle of October now as far as the show goes. But we could actually pick a date, and that'll be your date to call in on my show and ask me any questions you want. I love doing those kind of shows. They're fun. It's a lot of fun.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much, Veronica.
No problem, David. Thanks so much, and all
thank
the
you.
Best.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Sering kesepian.